We are close, amen. Ah, what's this life? A couple of score years, you know? And this thing's over and we're in heaven with God forever, for saved. Thank God for that, amen. It makes the more trouble and trials in your little life and you compare it to eternity, amen. Amen. But it is a heavy burden sometimes to carry in. Mr. Chapter number 8, amen. Let me find my place. You find your place. Esther, chapter number 8. This will be our last study in chapter 8. We'll be headed to chapter 9 next. Amen. Kind of give you a little update and get you up to where we're at in the book of Esther. Amen. 8's the number of new beginnings. And we began this chapter under the subject of the new beginning for the Jews. And it is a new beginning and it's a glorious beginning, because the beginning that they had in the book of Esther wasn't so glorious. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings tonight. Amen. Brother D, how about pray for us, brother? Yes, thank you. Amen. So you go back to the beginning of the book of Esther, you find the story of a king and having some troubles with his wife, Vashti. The king, of course, his name is Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus and his wife had some little rocky times right there where he eventually removed her even from his wife and her queenship. And then the men came up with a great idea that they would seek out a wife for the king. And they had this kind of, I guess you could kind of compare it to a beauty pageant where these women came in. And this one woman, Esther, which is the book's named after, amen, is chosen by the king to be his wife. And Esther is a Jew, and this king is a Gentile king. Amen. He marries his Jewish bride. And amen, as things begin to progress in her life, and in the story here, the king promotes Haman to be his right-hand man. And Haman had this enemy that he hated in the book called Mordecai. Now, Mordecai is Esther's adopted father. And now, Haman didn't know at the time, and the king didn't even know at the time who her adopted father was. The king just married this lady, and now this Haman, this hateful guy, he really hates Mordecai because he hates the Jews. He hates the Jewish people. And one of the reasons why he hated that old Mordecai is because Mordecai wouldn't bow down and worship him like everybody else would, amen. And as the type shows throughout the Word of God, and the Jewish people wouldn't bow to this old false God, because this Jewish man knew what the Bible said about the true and living God, and it works the same with me and you today. We shouldn't bow down to the false gods of this old world. And he wasn't bowed, he wasn't bend, amen. And so Haman makes a decree, because he's second in command of the king. He steals it with the king's ring that he's given to him. And the decree is that in 11 months, all the Jews are going to be killed. All the women, all the children, amen, all the men. They wanted them genocide. They wanted them cut off, kind of like Hitler wanted the Jews to be obliterated and gone. Amen. He wanted them to be gone. And Haman's the type of the Antichrist who's going to show up in the future, and he's going to try to destroy the Jewish people. And we know God's not done with the Jews, amen, and God's going to grab them back in when we're raptured out. But old Haman, he wants them to be destroyed, and he makes this decree, and he says, here it is, let's have them killed. Now, Mordecai finds out that Haman has made a decree to kill all the Jews. So Mordecai gets news to Esther, his adopted daughter, and says, hey, listen, there's a bad decree out in the town. They spread it all over the city. They took it out by post, and all the 127 provinces that this king was under, they sent out these letters saying all the Jews are going to be killed on this day. Within 11 months, that 12th month, 13th day, they're going to kill all the Jews, all the women, all the men, all the children. It doesn't matter. They kill them all. And so Mordecai says, Esther, we got to do something. And Mordecai kind of says, don't think because you're in the king's palace, you're going to escape with anybody else, because you're a Jew also. And so Esther and Mordecai come together and they said, hey, we're going to fast and pray. And we're going to ask God to do something special. And for 3 days and three nights, they begin to fast and pray. And Esther said, I'm going to go before the king. And now you know how it works in those times. Nobody could come before the king unless the king laid out his golden scepter and said, you can come. If you went in without being invited to the king would have your head cut off, have you killed. But Esther said, we got to do something. Mordecai said, we got to do something. I'm going to go before the king. You pray. We'll pray. Let all the Jews Jews pray, spread the news all over the province. Everybody going to pray and fast for 3 days. And she made that famous statement in the book of Esther, "If I perish, I perish." In other words, if I die, I die. If he kills me and has my head cut off, so be it. We're going to try to step out by faith and trust God and do something about it. So Esther goes in there and she bows before the king. The king lets her live and she begins to play it out through the story. A lot of other things that go on in behind the scene. But coming to a conclusion of what happened, Haman is revealed for being how wicked he was. And the king finds out that his right-hand man has tried to kill his wife and all her people. And so Haman has tried to make a noose to hang Mordecai on, but Haman gets hung on his own noose. He gets killed. He gets it in the neck. Amen. It looked like for a long time the Jewish people were in bondage and in trouble. Hey, but they've been delivered. Amen. Haman has been killed. Now the enemy's been done away with. And it brings us up to chapter number 8. In chapter number 8, in the first two verses, we saw that the decree begins to shift over where the king puts Mordecai and Esther in charge. And where they were the Jews and they were fearful for their life, now, hey, you've got the ring, Mordecai. Haman's been hung. You're the one in charge. You're my right-hand man. Hey, I'm giving you the power, amen, over my kingdom. But the problem is there's still a decree out to have all the Jews killed. And so when Mordecai gets up in power and Esther reveals to the king who Mordecai is, and Esther and Mordecai is going real good in the first two verses, but Esther and Mordecai knows that the Jewish people are still going to die. Even though we're in the kingdom and we've been promoted, there's people under us that have not been promoted. They have not been delivered. They're going to be killed. And so they begin to get a burden, and Esther kind of does the same thing she did in the beginning of the book. I'm going to go before the king, and she doesn't say it, but if I perish, I perish. Hey, we've got to get some relief for my people because they're going to die also. And because they got uplifted, we saw, and they were promoted, they didn't forget about those that were under them. And hey, sometimes in this old Christian life, we might be promoted, we might not be promoted, but whether we're promoted or not promoted, the truth that we saw in this book, that we don't need to forget about those that are under us. Hey, amen. If you're saving, you're going to heaven, glory be to God. But don't forget about people that are still lost. Don't forget about your family members that don't know God, that are headed to a devil's hell. Hey, let's not get comfortable in our salvation while people around us die without Jesus Christ. And if God begins to bless your life, glory be to God. Hey, don't forget where God brought you from. Amen. Don't forget about that horrible pit God brought us out when He set us on that solid rock. And so they got burdened. And that burden led to a decree being changed or being altered, not necessarily done away with, because the decree was for the Jews to still be killed. But the king told Mordecai and Esther, said, go write your own decree. And the decree was written. And this is where it brings us up to where we've been looking at in the verses 7 through verse 17. We've seen there was a change of decree. Amen. We saw last week that the king's decree that they wrote, that the king allowed them to seal, and that decree that was written, we're looking at it as a type of this old book that we got in our lap tonight. Hey, that decree comes with comforting words. Amen. This old book will comfort you in your trouble. Amen. Thank God the Word of God will comfort us. It'll lift us up. Amen. Hey, what does the king do? We saw last week he just reminded Esther and Mordecai that, hey, your enemy that wanted you killed, we hung him. Amen. He's got it in the neck. Amen. And every once in a while we need to pick up this old book. That old devil that's persecuting us. Hey, no hell we have to fight in this old world. Hey, there's coming a day we're going to go home with Jesus. We're going to lay our burdens down. Amen. And we are comforted by the words of God. Kind of like we thought about that. We looked at that passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 where when a loved one dies and goes home to be with the Lord, it leaves a void and an emptiness in our heart. Hey, but we are comforted by the Word of God that, hey, they just asleep in Jesus, but one day we're going to meet them again. So the Word of God is comforting, amen. And the King's Word was comforting. We've seen it was not only comforting, but we saw that it was confirming. That means it's established, it's firm, it's settled. Hey, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled, amen. Nothing's going to rock it, nothing's going to shake it, amen. God's Word is settled, amen. And we saw how the decree was written, amen, that they were to stand up and fight for their lives. So look, look down to verse number 9 with me. So he's looking at the comforting words. We looked at the confirming words. But thirdly tonight, I want you to look at the king's words. They're not only comforting and they're confirming, they're to be circulated. They're to be circulated. this book, amen, that comforts our hearts, that gives us a solid, firm foundation that confirms our souls and our salvation and our walk with God. Hey, we're to take that word out and publish it to the world. Amen. In verse number 9, the Bible said, "Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month," that is, amen, "the month Sivan, on the 3rd and 20th day," so the 3rd month, 23rd day thereof, "and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and to the deputies, and the rulers of the province, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to the writing, and according to their language." Hey, they began to circulate the Word of God. According to verse number 13, if you look down there, the Bible said, "The copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province," and what? Published, amen. Hey, they were to circulate the Word of God. They were to publish it around the world, amen. That decree that, hey, begin, that they were to stand up and fight for their lives and not allow the decree that Haman wrote to have those Jews destroyed, but to defend yourself and stand up for what was right, it was published around the world. You know what we need to do with this old King James Bible? You know what we need to do with the Word of God that's comforted our hearts and confirmed our lives? We need to circulate it to the world because the world needs to know about Jesus. Psalmist said in Psalm 68:11, "Thou, the Lord, gave thy the word. Great was the company of those that published it." Hey, God has given it. Amen. And God has allowed people to publish it and print it. And it's been printed in English for us in this King James Bible. It's been printed in other languages to take it around the world. Hey, that's what we're to do with this word that has comforted us, that has saved us, that's given us a solid foundation to stand on, and a hope of tomorrow in heaven. We're to take it to a world that needs to hear about Jesus. Amen. We're to publish it, amen. Hey, take it out and spread it around the world, amen. Do you know what a lot of God's people are doing? We're sitting on the truth that we got that can change the world. We're not publishing it. We're not taking it out. Just a few facts about verse number 9. That's a long verse, well, number 1, amen. Matter of fact, it's the longest verse in your King James Bible. That verse is the longest verse in your King James Bible. If you count it, it has 96 words. That's a lot of words in one verse, amen. Hey, every letter in the English alphabet is used in that verse except Q, X, and Z. Amen. It's just long, amen. And in the context of that verse, he's talking about taking the world to all the 127 provinces and publishing it, amen. Hey, here's just a little nugget of something to think about. In your King James Bible, there's 90 words. In the NIV, there's only 71 words. You know what the NIV done? It took away 19 words out of that verse. Hey, in the Living Bible, there's only 61 words. So what? Almost 35 verses or words are missing out of that verse. You say, what's the 35 words going to change? That'll change a whole lot of subject right there. That'll change a whole lot of meaning right there. And then some people say, well, it doesn't really matter what Bible you use. They're kind of all the same. Well, they can't all be the same if one of them's got 35 less words in one verse. I ain't talking about the whole Bible. I ain't talking about all the other chapters and all the other books. Just one verse, there's 35 words missing. Hey, there's an attack going on right there. The New King James Bible, people say, well, you know, it ain't that bad. They kind of wrote that one just to correct the these and the thou so people could understand it. But you know, in the New King James Bible, amen, there's 83 words in that verse. So that means 7 plus 6, 13 words are missing. You know, the simple truth is, right, I'm going to move right on for this. All Bibles are not the same. They're not all the same, amen. Hey, they can't be things that are different are not the same. And if words are taken away, and when you begin to take words away, you're going to destroy the sentences, and when you destroy the sentences, you're going to destroy the meaning, and you're going to destroy the subject, and people are going to be deceived, amen. And that's what the devil wants to do, is take away the authority of the Word of God away from people's lives so people will die without Jesus Christ and be deceived into some other way. The world needs to know that, amen. These words are to be circulated. They're not to be altered. They're not to be changed, amen. Hey, we're to take them around the world, amen. Hey, we need to get the word out, amen. Hey, they were to take it out. Take it everywhere. At verse number 10, the Bible said, and he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and he sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders of mules, camels, and young dromedaries. Here we did. He said, send it out. It's kind of like the book of Samuel says in 1 Samuel 21 verse 8, when David was fleeing from a Saul that tried to kill him, and he came up to the priest right there and he said, hey, the king's word requires haste. Hey, amen. The work of God requires haste. Amen. You need to take it out and spread it and go. So if you look back, there's three decrees that are written in the book of Esther. Three decrees. The first one is written after the king lost his wife, and those men come up with a decree, amen, that the women didn't have authority to do what they wanted to do, kind of straighten out structure in the home there a little bit. Then that decree was written by Haman to have all the Jews killed, and then this decree is written that the Jews will stand up and fight for their lives against those that are coming to kill them on the 12th month, 13th day. Amen. You know what he said? He said, take it out with haste. You know the Word of God, we ain't got time to be sitting on our hands. I mean, we need to be getting the Word of God out. We need to get the truth out. Amen. Hey, you look at this world that we're living in. It's so confused. They're without hope and without God in this world. Hey, fear has gripped people's souls. Hey, man, they don't know whether they're going to die tomorrow with COVID or what. They don't know if somebody's going to burn down their house and somebody try to overtake them when you go to the town. And there's fear everywhere. And the devil's trying to use the grip of fear to shut people up and cause them to doubt God and what God can do. Amen. You know what we got? We got a well springing of water at this old book. Had to confirm a soul. Had to give them strength. Had to comfort them. Amen. And give them what they need. But they're not going to get it if we don't take it out. You got to get out with haste. You got to take it out. Amen. I got something written right here. I ran off a copy of. You know what he said there? He said they took it out. The Bible said in verse number 10, they sent it out on horseback and riders of mules and camels and dromedaries. Who say, you know, what's a dromedary? Amen. And what in the world is that? Amen. You know what it is? It's just a young mule. You say, why did they use a mule? Because the Bible's trying to show the emphasis of how the urgency and the haste and the speed to take this decree out. If you look at it, amen, they've taken this decree over 127 provinces. When Haman signed his decree to have all the Jews killed, the Bible said they sent it out. But you know how they sent it out? By men. They had 11 months before they was going to kill all the Jews. There was no urgency in getting out. Just go let everybody know we're going to kill them. And they sent it out by men. But you know what? When the king sends a decree to deliver these Jews from that death, and how Mordecai sends out this decree for them to stand up, they don't send it out by men walking. They send it out by horse. They send it out by camels. They send it out by mules. They send it out by dromedaries. Amen. What's a camel or a mule used for? Amen. They use a carry a heavy burden. Do you know what that dromedary is? That dromedary is a young camel trained to move swiftly, amen. It ain't like a regular camel that's kind of just loping around with a heavy load on his back. They're raised for the purpose of going out with some speed, amen. And that's what the Bible's trying to emphasize here. Hey, if you're going to get God's message out, get it out with some urgency. Get it out with some speed. We ain't just walking around. Hey, look at the world we're living in. Fly it on an airplane, man. Hey, put it out to the speed of the internet, amen. We need to get the gospel and the truth out to the world. And God's trying to say, man, this is an urgent thing, amen. Hey, you can deliver them from that death that's coming their way. There was a death coming to the Jews, but get the truth out that we might deliver them from that death. And we look at it spiritually today. The world's dying without Jesus Christ. And we need to get it out with haste. We need to get it out with some charge, amen. We need to move the Word of God. Listen to this right here. The decree of Mordecai was translated into all the languages of every people. That's what he said they did. Amen. It was just like Mordecai's decree was translated to 127 provinces, and they hit all the languages in those provinces. When Haman, the hateful guy, sent out his decree, he sent it out to 127 provinces, and they hit every language in that province. And they spread it out. Amen. From India to Ethiopia, according to verse number 9. 127 provinces. In less than 1 year. Matter of fact, when Haman sent his out to have him killed, you've seen that he got killed, 2 months later? So they didn't have the decree out, and it didn't take long to get it out the way they got it out. And they sent it out in 2 months. And now they sent the next decree out. That doesn't tell you how long it took them to get it out, but they got it out faster than they did with just men. They used camels and dromedaries and mules and horseback. And then we find that word post in there. They sent it out by post. Amen. And that's, those postmen running out there taking out that message, the Pony Express, if you will. That thing's been in the Bible a long time before they ever coined it in the world, amen. And they're sending it out, getting the letters out, getting the truth out. Let them know the decree has been signed. The truth is, they got it out with at least 2 months to 127 provinces, which is almost 365 different languages in those provinces. And they got that decree out in less than 2 months. The second one had to be faster than that when they used the camels and the mules. Here's the truth. If a bunch of unsaved translators can do that for a heathen king, certainly a billion professing Christians can take the gospel to the whole world after nearly 2,000 years. I mean, they could send that decree out to 127 provinces, 365 different languages, and they don't even know God, and Haman was a wicked man, and he sent his decree out. If they can get it out like that, why can't we as God's children, with the technology we got, with internet and computer and airplanes and cars, and man, you name it, we got it to go, and we can't even get it around the whole world. What is the problem, amen? The problem is God's people are not seeing the urgency to take it out. Do you know what we want to do? Here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to do in Richmond County. Here's what we want to do in North Carolina, in South Carolina, in Tennessee, in Kentucky, and all around the United States. Hey, we're not trying to get it all over the world. We just go split and put another one in the county. Let's just have 50 or 100 different churches in Richmond County. Man, good enough. Somebody ought to wake up. We don't need to build another church. Somebody needs to take it where it's not at. But we're sitting on our hands because we can't get along with one another just to make another place to satisfy our little desire that we want to do while the world's going to hell without Jesus. Why won't somebody go where it's not at? This is what we're doing. We're sitting down in America. The American churches, we can't get along with one another, so we just make 10,000 churches all over the county. And while the world's going to hell, why we all got to be right? Why can't God be right? Why can't we just see the need to get the gospel around the world? People need Jesus. It's got to be an urgency, amen. It's got to be circulated. We need to take it around the world. Hey, go somewhere where nobody's doing it. You know what Paul said? I'm not laboring in another man's works. I'm not boasting what somebody else has done. I want to go where nobody's ever been. I want to do something nobody's ever done. Where's that desire? Where's that burden? We just got those new gospel cards in. Tim mentioned them earlier. Man, what a great thing to get the gospel out. I think there's like 9 verses in whole and talk about eternity and salvation. You scan that little card. Once we got a gospel message with 8 minutes to tell somebody how to go to hell, heaven and escape hell. Hey, we can't, man, take it out. They need it, man. Flood Richmond County with it. Get the gospel out, amen. We can all do our part. We just sit around and let somebody else do it. No, man. Hey, we got 5,000 of them in the mail the other day. I hope we get them out in a month and need 5,000 more. You know how we're going to get them out? People see the urgency, amen. I'm glad God saved me, and that same gospel message can save somebody else. Hey, but who's going to take it to them? Amen. Stop fighting with one another and skirmishes with one another. And let's get the desire and the burden to take the gospel to the world. Hey, because the King's word requires haste. Take the gospel out. Tell somebody about Jesus instead of all the troubles in the church. Stop fighting with your brothers and sisters. Get along with one another and advance the gospel around the world. They'd have never advanced nothing. They said they're fighting one another. Well, I believe we ought to go horseback. No one said, well, I believe we ought to go camel. And no one said, I believe I ought to go with dromedaries. You know what the Bible says? No, the horses win and the mules win and they rode on camels and they rode on your dromedaries. Everybody just said, get what you can get on and go get your job done, man. Go get it done. Spread it around the world. How can they spread it over those provinces and they don't even know God and we can't do it and we all know God? The billion professing Christians in the world. The technology that we have. No other generations of Christians has had the ability to get the gospel to every kindred, every tongue, and people in the nation, Revelation 5:9, like we do today. Man, we got technology everywhere. What's the problem? We got our agendas everywhere else.
Amen.
That's the problem. Of the world, you know, here's the fact. This was like, I don't know, it was written down probably about 15 years ago. It's probably a little bit altered a little bit. There's probably some different things. But you know, the world has 6,528 languages. 6,528 different languages in the world. That's a lot of languages. They took it out to 365 in less than 2 months. There's 6,528 today. You say, well, that's a lot more languages. Yeah, but there's a lot more people. There's a lot more technology. There's a lot more that we know how to get it out. Over 2,000 of those 6,528 languages, over 2,000 have some part of a Bible. Some part of a Bible. That leaves, what? 4,500 has no part of a Bible in the world. No part. Not one little book. Not one little page is translated in their language. Man, those people dying and going to hell have no hope. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The basic gospel message has been translated and made available on cassette to 4,562 languages. At least 2,000 languages that still ain't been hit. The Jesus film has been translated in almost 300 languages, with each having a million speakers or more, and have been viewed by nearly a half a billion people. There are 13 large mission agencies that broadcast the gospel program around the world by radio in 211 languages. 13 large missions, and it's going out to 211 languages. And what about the rest? You mean they ain't got radios nowhere else? You mean there ain't no Christians nowhere else? Who's trying? I mean, we ain't got nothing to do. Man, there's a lot that needs to be done. When it comes to getting the gospel around the world, there's a lot to be done. You know what? Maybe we can't go where there's no foreign language, but we can make sure everybody in our neighborhood knows it. We can make sure everybody in our county knows it. You can make sure everybody on your job knows about it. Hey man, there's a way to get it done. There's gospel tracks, these tracks. There's a video on that one, man. Hey, you can get it done. We just need a name, go do it. They are circulating the word with urgency. There's enough gospel literature is printed every year to give a track, a gospel track, to every person on the globe and put a New Testament in every house. Every one of them. There's enough printed. I mean, what was the letter we got from the fellowship track lead the other day? And he was talking about that last track that they print, how many it was. I mean, a crazy number. There's enough printed. Yet with everything that's going on, we still have not reached everyone with the gospel. The problem is that a lot of Christians aren't going. We're not doing our part. We're not manning our post. A lot of Christians are not going with their prayers. No, but who's praying? Who's praying God raise somebody else up? Who's praying for those that are out there doing it? They stay on the field and keep it going. They're not God's people. God's people are not going in there with their prayers. They're not going with their money. Nobody's sending them money to get the gospel around the world. But we'll send money to help a freezing dog and save an Eskimo. You know, well, that's the person. Yeah. Maybe a seal. Save a, you know, spotted seal or something, you know? You know, that's crazy the things people put their money in. I mean, you let somebody put something on the television, it's shaking and pouring, and you see in their ribs, and you say, man, we'll send some money to that. And that thing ain't even got a soul.
Amen.
They seem to be cruel to animals, and you know, do all that bad stuff. But I'm talking about there's a person's soul is way more valuable than an animal. And American people put more money into dogs and cats than they do souls that are going to hell without Jesus. I'd hate to stand before the Lord one day and God take my banking account out and see the money I put in animals and the money I put in missions around the world. There's going to be something wrong with that when we stand before the Lord. That's the problem. We're loving ourselves and our things instead of the world. It's without Jesus. Most Christians have no sense of the urgency in regarding getting the gospel out to all the world. If Mordecai's decree had been treated like most Christians treat the gospel message, the post would have not arrived until weeks after the Jews were massacred. But you know what Mordecai said? This thing's got to go. And we putting it on camel, we putting it on horse, we putting it on young dromedaries, we getting it out, because if we don't get it out, within 9 months all the Jews are going to be killed. We don't want that to happen. What if we got the urgency? What if Mordecai had no urgency? The Jewish people would have been massacred. What's wrong with us today? The king's word. The king's words are comforting words. Say amen. They're confirming words. They're to be circulated words, but they're also charging words. We're charged by God. Charge. Look in verse number 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders of mules and camels and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their lives. This is a charge. He said, send this decree out. They're going to be killed, but tell them to stand for their lives, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the powers of the people and provinces that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. You know what the king's charging words was? Fight the good fight of faith. You stand up. They're coming in for you. You don't let them take it. When are God's people going to stand up and say, you know what? We're drawing a line. You ain't taking no more. What if God's children would have a long time ago would have drawn a line and said, hey, you're not taking prayer out of our schools? What if we'd have stood up and stood for what was right instead of let them take Bibles out of school? I mean, you know what's happened? They took it in prayer and Bibles out of school. You know what they've done? The devil didn't just stop right there. He's took it out of churches. People ain't opening up a Bible at church. They telling little stories and having little skits and dance shows and drama teams and everything else, and nobody's picking up the Word of God. Most people don't even know what the Word of God is. Amen. We got a generation that does not know God. Amen. You know why? Because we didn't see the urgency and we laid it down while the world's going to hell without Jesus. Amen. You got a charge. Amen. Fight. Stand up. He said, he said in verse 11, wherefore the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their lives, to destroy, to slay, and cause to perish all the powers of the people and provinces that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. Upon the one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province. There it is, published. And published, was published unto all people. And that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon the mules and camels went out, being hastened. See the speed, the urgency. And pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. There was the king's words were confirming. They were also charging. They were charging words. They avenged themselves. Amen. Hey, there's something here when he says, you know what? They coming to kill you, stand for your life. Do you know there come a time in God's people's lives we might have to make a stand? Amen. Who knows? You know, I know the Bible says, you know, he says, avenge yourselves. You look over there in Romans chapter number 12, verse 9. Hey, vengeance is mine. You know, the Lord's going to avenge them. 1 Thessalonians 4, 6, God's going to avenge. Revelation chapter 6, and there's people over there in the tribulation are praying to God and saying, how long? Those souls under the altar are saying, how long before you avenge the enemies for what they've done to us? How long are you going to let it go, Lord? How long are you going to let the devil keep pressing and tearing down and destroying? And sometimes we look out today over the media and the world today and say, how long is the Lord going to let this come to pass? You know, the Lord's going to avenge. But there might come a day He wants us to stand up. Who knows? The king's words are charging. We're to charge with the book. We're to stop backing down and stand up for what's right. Amen. We're this politically correct world where everybody can say everything but the truth. And if anybody stands up and says the truth, you're some kind of devil. And somebody better tell the truth. Somebody better get some guts about them, amen, and stand up and say what's right. And let this world know they're dying without Jesus Christ. It's charging words. This whole book of charging. But lastly, it's cheering words. In verse number 15, the Bible says, so Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in his royal apparel. Well, I'm glad to know God's words are comforting. They comfort us. They're confirming, amen. They're charging words. They're circulating words. But they're also cheering words. This whole book will cheer your soul. He said, so Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in his royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. You know what God's words will do? They'll cheer you. Now, this decree hasn't come to pass yet. I mean, the 12th month, 13th day hadn't made it yet. This battle that's going to take place where the Jews are to be destroyed, but the Jews are going to stand up and fight back. It ain't come to pass yet, but the decree's already been written. They done read the end of the story, and they're rejoicing about it. Amen. Do you know what? We look around this old world today, but we read the end of the book. And even though you look around, and man, it ain't came to pass yet, but it's going to come to pass. And that thing will cheer your heart. You say, how can you be happy with all this mess going on? Man, my God's on the throne. Amen. Hey, this is not my home. I'm just passing through. I done read the decree, man. This thing gives joy to our hearts. And we ought to rejoice in the fact that what God's going to do for His children. Amen. In this passage, we see some truths here. Amen. There is coming a day when all the world will rejoice when the Jews are on top. Hey, Mordecai's on top, not Haman. As a Jew has been exalted, amen. Hey, God's not done with the Jewish people. Matter of fact, amen, just the other day, amen, your president done something with Israel, amen, standing for Israel. Thank God for that, amen. You say, well, I don't like everything he does, but he stood for Israel, man. That's a Bible truth right there. Glory be to God. Standing up with Israel, you will not go wrong. Amen. Amen. So, hey, there's going to come a day, amen, all these Jewish haters, the Jews are going to be on top and they're going to have their preeminence. Amen. Look in Zechariah chapter 8, right before Malachi and Matthew there. There's coming a day when the world's going to rejoice because the Jews are on top. They might not be rejoicing now, but there's going to come a day they're going to rejoice. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23, the last verse there. Right before Malachi and Matthew. There's coming a day when the world's going to rejoice. That's what they're doing. Mordecai went out there and the whole city's rejoicing. Shushan's rejoicing and glad. Why? Because there's a Jew on the throne. Zechariah 8:23 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days. This is future. You know, there's still a lot of stuff in this book still ain't been fulfilled. In those days, it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is what? A Jew. Saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You know when they're going to come a day and they're going to say, hey, we want to be with you. We want to follow you. Amen. They rejecting the Jews today. And boy, it's going to look real bleak. And that book of Esther kind of shows that story. And looking at it prophetically, how Haman was ruling and he was trying to kill all the Jews. And that's going to be the Antichrist in the tribulation trying to kill all the Jews. But there's going to come an end to that thing that Haman's going to get it in the neck. The Antichrist is going to get it. God's going to come back and set up a millennial reign. And the Jews are going to be ruling and reigning with him. And us that are saved and have suffered with him are going to rule and reign. And we're going to bow down to a Jewish king. Amen. And the Jews are going to be grafted back in and have their preeminence the way God had designed it to be. Those Jews that don't bow. You know when we get this truth right? You know what Mordecai, he could have did? That old Jew, he could have bowed to Haman. He could have bowed to him. But you know what he said? I ain't bowing. That'd be against the commandments of my God. I ain't bowing. And he didn't bow. And in the end, he was rewarded for it. You know what? You ain't got to bow to this world. And one day there'll be a day God's going to reward us for it. And there's also a truth here that those Jews in that tribulation, they ain't got to bow to the Antichrist. Look at this in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, and end of the book. Those Jews that don't bow, just like Mordecai didn't bow, God's going to reward them one day. They ain't going to bow to the Antichrist, but one day they're going to reign with Christ. Revelation 20, verse number 4. You see that old serpent, the dragon? The devil and Satan bound for 1,000 years in verse 2. Cast in the bottomless pit in verse number 3. And the Bible said in verse 4, He said, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. They ain't bowing to Him. Neither His image, neither had received His mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Just like Mordecai has been exalted. Just like that Jew in the future is going to be exalted. Because they're not going to bow to the Antichrist. It might cost them their life. They might be beheaded. But God's going to reward them one day. You know, I don't know what it might cost me and you for not bowing this whole world. But you won't go wrong serving God. Haman had a decree. And his decree brought perplexity in chapter 3, verse 15. It brought mourning in chapter number 4. But then Mordecai made a decree. And his decree brought rejoicing and gladness. You know, the devil's trying to destroy, trying to make us miserable. But thank God we got a book that's eternal, that cheers our hearts, that gives us charge to press on for the Lord, that comforts us through all our troubles and gives us a firm foundation to stand on and confirms us and has to be circulated around the world. What are we doing with it? You know what? Mordecai said, this thing needs to get out. This truth's got to get around the world. You know what I think about the gospel message when it comes to the fact of how Jesus Christ took our hell, took our payment, paid our debt, that we'd escape the damnation of hell? That's a message that needs to go out with urgency. People are dropping off in this world without Jesus Christ. What are we doing? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The King's work requires haste.